Hebrews chapter 13. Let's look at one verse. All right? Hebrews 13, 13. Hebrews 13, verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. Now, the truth has always been in the minority. The truth has always been in the minority. The truth has always been despised and rejected by most people. Did you hear me? From the beginning, those who believed God, as opposed to popular opinion, those who believed God's word, the truth, were hated, ridiculed, and in the minority. It from the very beginning. Noah. You know the story of Noah. You know how many people were saved? Well, first of all, do you know how many people were on the earth at that time? Estimates have it, Bible scholars say, that there could have been billions of people on the earth. Noah and seven people. Eight persons were on that ark. Israel, you take Israel for example. As God delivered Israel in the Exodus, took them through from Egypt all the way through those foreign lands, and they were the mighty Syrians, they were the mighty Amalekites, the Philistines, which encompassed vast lands with many people. Israelites, comparatively, were a very small band of people, weren't they? They were the only people of God. Is that right? That's what Scripture said. Now, when Jesus Christ arose from the grave and appeared to His disciples, He stayed here 40 days. And then He went back to glory. You know how many people were, how many disciples were meeting together when He went back to glory? You know how many disciples? 120. 120. The truth has always been in the minority. Now, I know the Scripture says that God has a people as the sands of the sea. That's a lot of people. As the stars of the sky, which no man can number, the Scripture says. I know that. That's so. But you know, that's taken over a period of time. That's taken over all time of human beings being on this earth and little children dying, babies dying. I can see how that's so. Yes. But at any given time now, in any given generation, God's true people, true are relatively few. Scripture says that. It says there'll be like a scattering of corn on the mountaintop. You go out and take a hand of corn and fling it to the wind. And that's the way that God's a remnant, He said, a remnant. He said, though the children of Israel be as the sands, He said, yet a remnant will be saved. Now, when we say this, and when I say this, and I believe that many in here are, if not most, are among this number of believers. And when we declare this, when we say we are, and the whole world, you remember when John said, "We're of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness." You remember that? That's an awful bold statement, isn't it? Well, it's true according to the Scriptures that the truth has always been in a minority. We just read Matthew 10, how he said, you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake. People, religion, all religions, all denominations and all pretty much get together. They're not hating each other. Isn't that right? They don't hate each other. They all believe basically the same thing. But they despise what we believe. They hate what we claim to believe and preach here. Isn't that right? And when I say this, and when we declare this, it's not for the purpose of being exclusive. Not trying to exclude anybody. Trying to be, you know, a little like a little club. We got it, nobody else does, and you know, and we might let you in. That's not the reason. Listen, if anything, it's easier to go with flow. It's easier to go with the flow than to swim upstream. You know that? Just go with the flow. Compromise. That's a whole lot easier. Isn't it? A whole lot easier to get along with people and to fight and stand up. A whole lot easier to compromise and to take a stand, isn't it? Huh? So we're not saying this to be exclusive. But let me say that believers now are just that. They're believers. We confess like Paul did. He said, what? He said, after the way they call heresy. After the way they call heresy, Paul said, he said, I confess that's what I believe. And you remember in the Acts where Paul was standing before, I forget who it was, but he was standing and he said, they said, we know everywhere that way, the way you believe, Paul, is spoken against. And nobody believes like you do, Paul. You're in a minority here. Everywhere this way is spoken. But he said, I want to hear about this way. Well, it doesn't matter if the whole world doesn't believe the truth. Believers do, and they're going to stand for it. All right? Now listen. Christ said in John 17:3, he said this. I wish I could call on one of our young people to quote this. Don't have that scared look on your face. I'm not going to. I'm not going to call you on you to quote that. But I believe they all can do it. John 17:3, our Lord said, and this is life eternal. Our Lord said, this is salvation. Jesus Christ summed it up. He said, this is life eternal, that they, that is, that those who have eternal life, might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Now, if he said that, the only true God, then that means he's implying there, isn't he? That there's false gods. And Jesus Christ, whom God sent. And he said that over and over again, didn't he, Joe? He said, many false Christs will come, didn't he? It's not so much men who come and say, I'm Jesus, I'm the Christ, I'm the resurrection. It's not so much that as those who claim or preach another Jesus, you see. That's who these false Christs are at Christ. Not men who claim so much to be Messiahs, so much as those who preach another Christ. And Paul said that. They'll come preaching another Jesus, another gospel, didn't they? Another gospel. That's the reason Paul said, now this is my gospel, didn't he? Our gospel. Didn't he say that, Paul? He said, if anybody preach any other gospel than what you've heard from me, Paul said that. Didn't he say that, Jen? Yeah? Any other gospel than what I preach, I don't care who it is, an angel from heaven come down and preach. I don't care what he said, how good it sounds, how good he looks, what impression it makes on you. If ever the whole world's believing it, anything other than what I'm saying to you, Paul said, let him go to hell. Oh, Paul, that's dogmatic. One Lord, one faith. One Lord, and one thing. All right, he said the only true God. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God. God. That means God is God. That doesn't... Not he just tries to be God or wants to be God and will be God if men let him be God. No, he's God. He is God. He's God. Ain't nobody lets him do anything. That's what makes him God. He's not wanting to be Lord. He's Lord. That's what makes him Lord. He's Lord. Is that... That's about as simple as I can make it, you know? How simple. He's God's God. That's what the name means. Absolute ruler and controller and creator and sustainer and giver of life and upholder of life and the one who breathes and we breathe, the one who says it and we do it. He's God. Men don't make him God. He makes them men. Men don't let him be God. He lets them live. Men don't accept him as anything. He might accept them. The only true God. It's absolutely absurd to say anything contrary, isn't it? I can't declare this any other way than holler it. God's God. Men, don't let him be God. Let go and let God. Let God what? That's what they say. These pinhead preachers are saying, let go and let God. Let God. Just what are we going to let God do? He who throws stars in space where he wills it. Who? Goodness gracious. Men are absolute ignorant fools, aren't they? The fool hath said, there's no God. He's not really God at all. He just wants to be God. He'll be God if you let him. The only true God and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Jesus Christ whom this God who reigns and rules and purposes and controls and wills and ain't nobody can do or say anything about it, sent Jesus Christ with an express purpose, with a job to do, sent him down to do it, and said, you call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from his sin. And this sent one came down and did just that and went back to glory and sat down, job finished. Sent. Return home. Job done. And they'll all be saved. Jesus Christ. Well, Paul said to come preaching another Jesus. A Jesus who came and tried, did all he can do, and now it's up to men to let him. And Jesus who died for everybody, but his blood really didn't save anybody, you know. And only if men just decide to believe and make his blood effectual, then he wants to. He's knocking at your heart's door. People, he's sitting down. He's not knocking anybody's heart's door. The only person going to do any knocking is us. Say, doesn't he say that somewhere? Yeah, he says it to the church. Says it to the church. Well, here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what the Scripture said. Look at verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him Salvation is to know Him. It's to come to Him. Let us go forth and join the church. No, that ain't it. Let us go forth and be baptized. No, that's not it. Let us go forth unto Him. Him. It's Him. It's a person. It's become acquainted with a person. It's to come. It's to see, that is, with the understanding. We don't see God, but it's to come to understand that, hey, He's God. That this man who walked this planet is not just Jesus. Paul said in another place, he said, we see Jesus. Yeah, we see Jesus. We saw this man who walked the earth, made a little lower than the angels. He's a man. For the suffering of death. Yeah, we saw him hung on a cross. But Paul went on to say, he's now crowned with glory and honor. And you don't see him as Jesus now. He ain't Jesus now. He's the Lord Jesus. And you will address Him as such. And in Psalm 2, He says, you will bow. Because God says, I've declared the decree. I've set my Son on my holy hill of Zion. I've declared the decree. And I've given all things into His hands. And salvation is now to bow at His feet. And acknowledge Him. Not accept Jesus, but to bow before this sovereign Lord. And so that's who this Him is. You see, so I'm telling us, salvation is to come to Him. Christ said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Who is He? One time, when they crucified Him, it says the whole multitude sat around at the cross. While He hung there, and it says, sitting down, they watched Him there. Him. Him. And so, you see, salvation. This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who He sent. Why He came? To know Him. I started to go back to Hebrews 1. Well, let's do it, all right? You don't have any place to go, do you? Look at Hebrews 1. Look back here. Who is this? Who is this Him He's talking about? We go to. We bow before it. Who know is to have life eternal? Well, look at it. Hebrews chapter 1, all right? It says, God at sundry time, different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, that is, He owns it all, by whom also He made the world. He made it all. Who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, what's that mean? It means He's God, that's what it means. Upholding all things by the word of His power, what's that mean? That means what He says goes. Wherever He says, it gets done. He says you live, you live. He says you die, you die. He says you save, you save. He says you damn, you damn. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Read on. When He had by Himself purged our sin, what did He do when He came here? He came to save His people, and He did it. He did it. We don't help Him. Says He did it by Himself. Where is He now? He's not leaning over the banister, He's not knocking at the door. What's it say there? Does everybody in here read this with me? Verse 3, it says he sat down. He's right now seated on the right hand of the Majesty on high. That's who Him is. That's who He is. Well, come on, read on. Read on down here to verse 8. You say, well, he's the Son of God. Well, he's less than God. Look at verse 8. Let's hear what God says about His Son. Unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God. God calls Him God. And He's on the throne. My, my. And so Paul ends this whole book up by saying, let us go therefore unto Him. It's not, and I keep saying this so somebody hear me, it's not accepting Jesus. Jesus was down here and men rejected Him. One time God put Jesus into the hands of men. What they do with Him, you know what they did? They rejected Him. They killed Him. He's not up for acceptation or rejection now. He's seated on a throne. We're the ones on trial. We're the ones on trial. And the question is now, not what we'll do with Jesus, huh? Can't do anything with Him. The question is now, what's He going to do with us? That's the question. If anybody's saying anything other than that, it's not the gospel. If anybody's saying, won't you accept Jesus? That's another gospel. That's another Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is seated on the throne. And He's the one doing the accepting. Huh? Let us go therefore unto Him. That's who we're going to come to. Man comes, man saved, young person saved. This is the Him they're going to believe. This is He. This is who they're going to believe. True God and the sent Christ and the seated Lord. I tell you where He's at. You know, that's who He is. Let me tell you where He's found. Read on. Look at the text here. Let us go therefore unto Him without the camp. You're not going to find Him in camp. They didn't want Him. We looked at that this morning, didn't we? He'd come into town, they'd drive Him out. Yes, sir. Everywhere Christ went, they wanted Him out. Come in Jerusalem, they'd run Him out. And finally, when He finally came into Jerusalem last time, they laid hold on Him, and what did they do with Him? Took Him out of town. Hung Him on a cross. There now. Now we're done with you. Yep. He's out of the camp. And now you're going to come before Him. Out of the camp. Ah, my. He's out of the camp. You've got to come to Him without the camp. Without the camp. Now, listen, to get to Christ, you're going to have to leave the camp of religion. Like I just said, religion back then didn't want Him, and they don't want Him now. People are accepting Jesus, but they're absolutely rejecting, thumbs down, the Lord Jesus Christ. Every so-called church accepts Jesus. They love this Jesus, this baby that's in their arms, you know, this Lord, this Jesus who's in their hands to decide whether or not He's Lord or not. Everybody accepts that Jesus, but everybody thumbs down or wanting this Lord out of town. That's what Psalm 2 says. The heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing against the Lord and His anointed. Against the Lord and His anointed. And it says, He that sits in the heavens is laughing. What do you think God thinks about all this talk about accepting His Son? Huh? It says He's laughing. That's what the Scripture says, doesn't it, Stan Anderson? Psalm 2 says, "He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." God's done. Preachers everywhere in the camp are saying, all the camp, the convention, the organized religion say, "God's done all He can do, and that, God's laughing. You ain't seen all I can do. You're going to see what all I can do." God's done all He can do. And now it's up to you. We'll see who it's up to. God's laughing. We're going to see who it's up to. Without the camp. 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 Religious camp. They like to call it camp meeting. Camp meeting. Well, I don't know where that came from. You have to leave organized religion. You know, God says this over and over again. Over and over again. He says, your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your ways are not my ways. Doesn't it? He says it over and over again. My thoughts are not your thoughts. In Psalm 50, He said, "Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such a one as yourself." God says, you human beings, you think I'm like you. I'm not. My thoughts are not your thoughts. And so mark it down. Whatever the majority of people believe about God, it's wrong. It's absolutely opposite of the way God is. Whenever a man stops and says, "I don't know much about God, but this is what I think." Well, you're right. You don't know much about God. And it doesn't matter what you think. God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your way. Thou thoughtest." The old black preacher one time preached a message, and that was the name of it. "It ain't like you thought it was." Salvation. God. Jesus ain't like man thinks He is. He's as He is. And the Scripture says someday that all people are going to see Him as He is. Not like they think He is. And without the camp of the world, the camp of organized religion. Now listen to me. And it says here, look at this, bearing His reproach. You see that, verse 13? Without the camp, bearing His reproach. This is what He said in Matthew 10, bearing His cross. That's reproach. The offense of the cross. The offense of the gospel. That's what you bear. The offense of the cross, that's what you bear. You don't carry a piece of wood around your neck. It's the offense of the cross that you bear. It's the stand for the truth that you bear. It's the burden of the word that you are under. Carrying. And now this is difficult to do. You see, it's comfortable in the camp. Like I said, it'd be easy for us to just say, "Hey, there's some truth in everything. There's some truth. They're saying some good thing. They're all sincere and, you know, they're trying to do their best. And they love Jesus and they love God. Let's get along. Let's not. Why fight this thing, you know? Why be in the minority? Let's join up. Isn't there strength in numbers?" No! There's error in numbers. Started this whole thing out by saying the truth is in the minority. What if Noah had said, "Well, you know, y'all come on in now. And we'll leave the door open." It's difficult to do. It's comfortable in the camp. You'll be hated if you leave the camp. You'll be called a fanatic. You'll be called a cult. They'll call what you believe strange doctrine. Just believe, just say what God says and they'll call it strange doctrine. Now why is that? It's because they're strangers to the truth. Strangers to the covenant. The eternal covenant.
ordered in all things and sure. Strangers to it. Don't want to hear about it. That's strange to them. You'll become a fool for Christ's sake. Look at them out there. You know what? You'll become a fool for Christ's sake. They'll think you're strange. Let me pick out a couple here. There's a couple right here who lives down past the crossroads. On down, how can you describe it? On down the holler. You'll know what I'm saying. When you go down the holler, across the crossroads, going over the hill, up the hill, down the holler, turn up the creek, down the road. Now, in between where they live and this building, what would you say? 111 religious places? There's one right around the block from me, aren't you? Why? Why? Drive all the way up here, huh? Won't you just walk? Right, there's one right up there. They say, they'll call you a fool. Well, here's one. Some of you, I guarantee you, some of you have experienced this at the hands of your friends or fellow workers or family. Why, there's a church right over here. Why don't you go there? What are you going all the way up there for? What are you driving from Roanoke all the way? Without the camp. Without the camp. They call you a fool for Christ's sake. You got to go where Christ is found. He's not found everywhere. No, he's not. Jesus is, but the Lord Jesus Christ is not. And other gospels everywhere, but not the gospels. Very rare. Yeah, it is. And I'm not saying this is the only place. I didn't say. You got to leave old doctrine. To go to Christ without the camp, you got to leave. To go somewhere, you got to leave somewhere. No. To go to somebody, you got to leave somebody else, don't you? You ladies that married that man. Scripture says, let a man or a woman leave their mother and father and cleave unto her husband. You had to leave mom and dad and go to be with your husband, right? Well, you got to leave somebody or some place to go to Christ to. And what did we just read in Matthew 10? What did the Lord say? He said, I've come to set a man at variance against his father, a woman against her mother, a daughter against her mother, a daughter against her mother-in-law, so on and so forth, didn't it? You see, salvation's of the Lord. He chooses to save whom he will. And sometimes in the same family, he saves one person and bypasses another. He reveals the gospel to one person. He reveals the gospel to a daughter and rejects her parents. Yes, sir. That's God's sovereign prerogative. Yes, sir. He didn't have to save that daughter. Didn't need to save that daughter. Nothing worth saving about it, but he did. Okay? It's his choice, and he chose that daughter and bypassed the mother. What's going to happen? There's going to be a fight. The daughter-in-law now is in another camp. Outside the camp. Well, mom and dad, they go to church. And they're sincere. But do they worship this God? Do they worship this Lord Jesus Christ? Do they believe this gospel? No, they don't. But they're sincere. No, we don't worship the same God. There's either true God and there's an idol, right? What could be plainer? To leave your old doctrine. And when, you know, before you leave the camp, that means you were in camp. Doesn't it? Huh? It means you were in camp and you were with mom and dad. You believed like mom and dad. You worshiped, so-called, like mom and dad. You were in the camp and everything was fine. You believed a wrong God. And that's what Paul said to the Thessalonians. He said, you've turned to God from your idols. You didn't turn, He turned you. He turned you. And you left that old and you renounced it. Huh? Nobody. People ask me now where I'm from. I say, Virginia. I wasn't born in Virginia. Born in Kentucky. What do you say, well, then you're from Kentucky? No, I'm not. I've renounced that. This is my home. I'm a Virginian. If the Civil War were now, Don Gray. I'm from Virginia, and that's just it. You leave, you renounce your past, you burn your bridges. Mom and Dad believe that way. I don't believe that way anymore. I love my mother and father. But I love my Lord more. Oh, come thou with us, Mom and Dad. We'll do thee good. This is the only gospel. We won't come. And you'll stay. I'm gone. You'll perish. Give me Christ or I die. You remember the story of Bunyan's Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress? I love this. John Bunyan, the Lord revealed the gospel to him. He had a burden on his back. He had a burden on his back. And he was dwelling in the city of destruction with everybody else. Mom and Dad, his wife, his children, and all that. Dwelling in the city of destruction. But God chose him to reveal the truth to him. Sent an evangelist to him. Revealed that he had a burden on his back, which is his sin. And he pointed away and he said, you've got to get to yon wicket gate. See that gate over there? You've got to go through that gate. There's eternal life through that gate. You get through that gate and look, there's the celestial city, which all pilgrims travel through. If they go through that gate, you're not going to get to the city except through that gate. And oh, the pilgrim saw. He looked, and there's the gate, which is Christ. There's the city he wanted to get to. And so he told his mother and his father and his wife and his children and all that, this city is being destroyed. And right there's the gate. There ain't no other gate. This is the gate. Only one way. One way. One way. Oh, no, pilgrim, there's many ways. All are going a different way. We'll all get there. No, there's one way. Right there. You see it? That's the gate. This is the truth I've been preaching this morning. Ain't no other. This is God. All others are idols. Get through that gate. And he told his family all, and they said, oh. And so what he did was, he said, well, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. I got to get through that gate. And so he took off, and his family said, don't go, please. You know, don't go. And his friends and his relatives and neighbors and everybody were lying in the streets, and some of them were laughing at him. You think that's the only gate, don't you? Where are you going, you fool? Well, it won't last, you know, and all that they were saying. Ah, ha, ha, they were laughing, and his wife and children were crying and all that. You know what he did? Scripture says he put his fingers in his ears and shouted and ran. It says he ran to the gate shouting, life, life, eternal life. Oh, Christ, Christ, I've got to get to Christ. Now, you can go away that seems right to you and seems right to the multitude. But right there's the gate. It's out of camp. It's outside the camp. You have to leave everybody and everything. This is it. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto eternal life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the road, Christ said. Wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, and many there be. Go there.
What could be plainer? Let us go therefore unto him. Not here, not me, him. Without the camp, bearing his reproach. And this is what you do. You know when you get in this baptismal pool, you know what you say? This is the Christ. I now believe and acknowledge and confess this Christ. I used to believe another one. He wasn't Christ at all. Oh, I accepted some Jesus, but I didn't even know the Christ of the Scripture. And when you get in that, you say, this is the gospel. This is the Christ I believe. Bearing his reproach, you see. You may be 30 years old, maybe 40 years old. You may be what was his name? The leper, the Syrian leper. Naaman. Remember Naaman? Naaman was that captain of the Syrian host, you know, and came to Elijah, and he was a leper, and you remember the story? He sent his little servant in there, go tell him I'm out here. I've decided to let him heal me. Naaman, you know, came riding up on his white horse. Hey, he'll be glad to hear that I'm here, and surely he'll thank me for coming. And go get him. Tell him I've decided, I've made a decision. And Elijah sent that servant back out and said, you tell Naaman that I don't come when he calls me. And you tell him to get off his horse, take his clothes off, and get in that muddy creek and dunk himself 7 times. Get in that muddy River Jordan. Get down in the mud. Take your big captain's coat off and get naked and get in the mud and get down where nobody can see you. Under the water. Naaman was indignant. Well, I thought. That's the whole problem, Naaman. It ain't like you thought it was. God doesn't come when men call. Men come when he calls. God doesn't save you. It's not a privilege for God. You don't let God save you. Uh-uh. God decides. And you've got to get down. Down. That's how God saved people. Ah, boy. Without the camp. And that's what we do when we get in here. Old man, I made a decision. Who are we on that? This is the Christ. I renounce. If I was in the camp, I'm outside the camp. Now, this is the gospel. All right, Joe.
You have a hymn picked out?
209.
209.